Good morning. Welcome back, you all. Season 4 of Love, Joy, and Languages is here. Finally. Welcome back to the podcast about loving languages and finding joy in learning them. So let's just jump right in. Season 4. It's coming out a lot later than I expected or anticipated because I've really just been digging into my languages. I've been doing a lot of intensive study, which I'll get into a little bit later. But thank you all for waiting and being patient and listening. I know a lot of you have gotten caught up on episodes since season 3. So I am so excited to be here and bring on season 4. So what do I have planned this season? There's definitely going to be a lot of the same type episodes as in previous seasons. I'm going to have a good advice gone wrong episode, which, by the way, I'd love to hear from you all about. Good advice gone wrong is a segment that I do every season that is all about good language learning advice that can go wrong, specifically how it's gone wrong for me, because I spent years trying to figure things out, you know, and I did so much wrong and made so many mistakes thinking there's just this perfect way to learn a language and that person did it this way, so I need to do it that way. And it just doesn't work that way for me. So I want to bring these things out to talk about why they're good and also how they can go wrong, because everything that's good isn't for everyone, right? So the last 3 seasons, I talked about watching kids' TV in your target language, doing your hobbies, but in your new language, and moving or traveling to a country where your language is spoken. Again, these are all great advice, but they can also go wrong. So I have a short list of other tips and stuff that I want to talk about that have gone wrong for me and my language life, but I would love to hear from you all as well if you have any. I want to hear about those things and possibly make it one of my good advice gone wrong episodes. So as always, I'm going to leave my social media information where you can find me in the show notes, but make yourself a mental note. Think about this and reach out to me if there's something you want to hear about. So this season, there will be an episode of Good Advice Gone Wrong, as well as a joyful chat with a very special guest co-host. That will be episode 79 in a few months. I already have someone picked out in mind, but I need to ask her. So I've got to make myself a note to do that. I'm really, really excited. This is always such a fun episode. And as always, the season finale, episode 80, long down the road, is going to be celebrating your all's language learning wins. Those episodes, the Good Advice Gone Wrong, Joyful Chat, and Language Learning Wins, those are set in stone for me. I also have a new variety of interviews planned for season 4, and it's going to be a really new range of topics, really digging into the stories of other people, other teachers, other coaches, other language learners, how they show up in the language learning community, what things affect their language lives, and I really hope to reach a really wide audience with all the different types of guests that I want to have on the show, because I want everyone to feel seen and heard and represented in some way. So other than that, since now it's been so long since I closed out season 3, I don't even remember. I think it was October, which would make 5 months since season 3 ended. I've had a lot of time to think about what kinds of topics I want to cover this season. I have a few episodes planned that are kind of tips and tricks because I've spent the last few months really intensively diving into my languages, which I'll talk about in a minute. But it's left me with some really clear thoughts on certain, methods, I guess you could call them, that have really been working for me and helping me make progress while maintaining consistency and not burning out. So I'll be sharing a bit on that throughout the season. And of course, there will be plenty of the content I think most of you show up here for, and that is the hard things. I have a good handful of tough topics. Personal things that make language learning and life, of course, really challenging. And I want to say, especially for anyone who's new here, welcome. But the whole purpose of me making this show is, one, to share my story, which I began sharing early on in season 1, but that I continue to unfold as the show goes on. And 2, my main goal is just to help you all build confidence and feel like part of the language learning community, like legit language learners, by normalizing those intricate and personal things that are absolutely normal, but perhaps aren't talked about much or at all sometimes. Or perhaps there's just a lot of nuance to your particular situation. It's really easy for people to share their own tips and tricks and recommendations and opinions, and there's plenty of that going around any online community, right? And in my own language journey, I felt for the longest time that the loudest opinions and advice givers were the normal ones, right? But they didn't represent me and my experiences, my personality, my mentality, and all the other things that make up me. And honestly, I'm so proud of myself for pushing through my own doubts and not quitting. I'm legitimately proud of you all too. The fact that you're here proves that you aren't quitting, and that's awesome. But you know, I don't like feeling as if I'm wrong about how I learn languages or how long it seems to be taking me to reach a certain level. I don't like feeling pressure to do something that Joe Schmo, who speaks 100 languages, says is the one way to do it, or that I have to spend a ton of money on resources I don't even enjoy in order to get fluent or conversational or whatever the goal is. I don't like feeling like I'm tied to whatever method or language I started. I'm all about flexibility to the max. So here I am creating this show to counter all of that. I want to unpack the personal and nuanced parts of each of us that play into our languages. I'm here to help you see that what you're doing and feeling is normal and that your way is good and works. I'm here to give you permission to just be yourself with your language life and find joy in connecting with others who don't fit some perfect mold of a language learner. Like, let's just all be weird together. I'm here for it. So that's season four. That's what you all can expect of me and my guests and anything that I'll be putting out. Now, for the rest of today's season opener, I just want to give a bit of an update, I guess, on what I've been doing since the end of October 2023, since I last put anything out. So now we're in March 2024. So a lot has happened. Language-wise, I've continued with my two main focus languages, Italian and German, and I always like to dabble in some other languages and just find connections between them. So mostly I've dabbled in Danish, but I've also done a wee bit of French. I follow a lot of Spanish-speaking content creators as well, and I wouldn't say I'm learning or dabbling in Spanish, but I can't completely leave it out because I get really excited when I understand something in Spanish based on what I remember from college 20 plus years ago and what's really close to Italian. So that's a lot of fun. I really want to take one of my dabble languages further in 2024, but I'm not committing just yet. I think French may win out in the end because my daughter is wanting to take it in school next year, and I just think it'd be a lot of fun and hopefully motivating for her if we learn it side by side. But I'm planning on taking the Italian B2 exam this summer, and I'm actually a little bit behind schedule on that, so maybe winter, but I really want to be ready in summer. So that's definitely a priority. And German is really an equal priority when it comes to how I divvy up my language time, because I live in Germany and my kids go to school here. And even though most people around me speak or at least understand English, it's really important to me to continue improving my German in order to communicate in the community language. And besides that, I just really love German grammar. I know I'm really weird, but I love German grammar. I love the way the language sounds. And it's also a priority because I want more than anything to be able to comfortably speak with my children's teachers in German instead of them feeling like they have to bear the language burden in our conversations. We're in the middle of our third school year here, and I've progressed from teacher conversations being 100% in English to them speaking German and me speaking English, to me staying in German as long as I can, which varies, but I've made great progress and I want a lot more of that. So I have a very specific vision for my future of German. I wouldn't call it a goal necessarily, just a vision of what I want my future German life to look like. So what have I been doing to work toward these goals or visions, I guess you could call them? For Italian, I'll go back there. I'm mainly working through my B2 exam prep book, which I really enjoy. It's an excellent array of listening, speaking, writing, grammar, really great book. And with it, I've also been creating and reviewing flashcards in Anki or Anki, however you pronounce it. I say Anki. So this is something I'm probably going to make a whole other episode about sometime, is this flashcards, because generally I hate flashcards, but they've been an excellent complement to my language studies lately, so I think it'll be cool to talk about that more. And also one of my tutors asked me about flashcards recently and how I use them, and she didn't like them, they don't seem useful, she can't figure out how to kind of make them work in a way that's not boring, so I think I'll make an episode about how I've been using them anyway. For Italian, I also have weekly, sometimes twice a week, but definitely weekly conversation lessons on Italki, which I've bumped up to 45-minute sessions now instead of the old 30 minutes that I used to do. And 45 minutes now is flying by, so this is... it's just fun. I really enjoy these conversations. And I'm also doing a lot of reading in Italian. A ton of reading in Italian. I've tried making most of my reading time, whether it be for leisure or for news or just blogs about language learning, you know, my favorite thing to read about. I'm trying really hard to keep those as much as possible in Italian and German instead of English. And that's been really useful for me. The main book that I'm reading in Italian right now was recommended to me by my Italki tutor, and so we spend a lot of our conversation time talking about the book too and sharing bits and pieces of it and how it applies to our lives and what we think about the things that the author says. So this has really helped my progress a lot, or at least my comfort. I feel more comfortable freely speaking in Italian about all kinds of random topics. It's a whole lot of fun to have this little two-person book club in Italian as well. I also, back in January, February, I did a 4-week Italian coaching program with Simone Poles. If you aren't familiar with his work, Simone is a fellow podcast creator. He's the host of Simple Italian Podcast, and his show is really great for those learning Italian. And honestly, even for those who already have a high level of Italian, I find the topics he shares really interesting all around. But anyway, with this coaching program, he created a very intensive plan for me where he picked out Italian content based on my personal interests, which we talked about in the very beginning, and I would do things like listen to a podcast episode, follow along with the transcript, watch a video, etc., and pick out new vocabulary, write it down and review it over time, and then I also did some shadowing exercises, and he provided feedback pretty immediately on my pronunciation. So this was eye-opening. I did not realize how challenging, I would say, my Italian pronunciation was sometimes. I know I have an American accent, of course. I've been speaking English from the U.S., from my area of the U.S. for decades, my whole life, but I didn't realize how strong it was. When he gave me those pronunciation things, it was an immediate boost to my language output. During this program, I also did some writing exercises about a couple of the podcast episodes I had listened to, and he gave me corrections. We met a couple times for a live spontaneous chat. He gave me very specific feedback at the end of the conversations, and this was just a really, really effective method for me. Simone also created some meditations to add to this plan as well, which were, for me, awesome. They were in Italian. They helped me before I started digging into my language time to just focus and center myself and focus on the things that I need to be doing in the study session instead of just coming at the study session feeling like my mind is everywhere. Really excellent. If you guys can find a meditation in your target languages, highly recommend it. So I have nothing but good things to say about working with Simone, and if I can fit it in again and again and again, I definitely will. So 4 weeks of really intensive language time with Italian language time with coaching in Italian from Simone, fantastic. I will leave his links in the show notes for sure for anyone who wants to check out what he does as an Italian language coach and podcast creator and all the other cool things that he's doing. And the other thing I've done, which is ending this week, is the 6-week challenge hosted by Judith Meyer. Judith is a big name in language learning. She's the author of the Script Hacking series of books, and she speaks, I don't even know, tons of languages. But several times a year, she opens a 6-week language challenge. It's totally free, and this is the first time I've taken part in it, but it's definitely been a favorite for me. So a quick overview. Everyone who participates in the 6-week challenge is supposed to choose and declare a new or low-level language. So I chose German for myself because I definitely don't think I've reached B1 or intermediate yet. Or maybe I have by now, but definitely not 6 weeks ago when this began. But with your chosen language, you do whatever you want and track it. That's it. You can also keep track of your overall language time, and on the website, which again I'll add in the show notes, you can easily document your language activities, compare your focus language time to others. So I was kind of like neck and neck the whole time with the amount spent in German with another person who also had German as their focus language. You can compare your overall language time to others, so how much time you spend in all of your languages, or you can just see your own language time increasing every day. And that was really my favorite part, because a lot of times it would be 5 minutes of Anki review here, 10 minutes of listening there, plus, you know, 20 minutes maybe of an app where I do 5 minutes four times a day. And every single day, I was shocked at how much language time I was actually getting. And this is like focused language time. If I listened to a podcast in my car while I was driving, instead of having 25 minutes marked as my language time, I would only do 10 or 15 because I was doing something else at the same time. So I really tried to make my language tracking not just having the language around me, but actively engaging in it. And it was a lot. So on the website for the 6-week challenge, there's a very handy pie chart that visually shows what percentage of your language time you're spending on each language that you track. And of course, the goal is really just to see how much progress you can make in your focused lower level language in 6 weeks. It has been a fantastic motivator for me, especially for using my time better and wiser, for being mentally present and appreciating the language time that I do have, and for staying consistent, especially with German. Instead of waking up in the morning and scrolling my phone for 10, 15, 30 minutes, most days I would go ahead and get out of bed and come right to my computer where I have my German time. So I can't say enough about this challenge. I think the next one is in May, but again, I'll put the link in the show notes and you all can check it out. It's my favorite because you really can just do anything you want in your language. And you're really, you know, you're challenging yourself to have more time than the next person, but really you're challenging yourself to just meet your language more often in a really focused kind of way. So it was fantastic, very, very effective. German and I have a really rocky relationship, I would say, and this challenge has improved that relationship a lot just by changing my focus and really giving me space to explore how I want to approach and learn and use German. So for this language, I'd say my main resource, I guess, is probably also Italki and probably equally lingua.com. With Italki, I have one teacher with whom I meet once every week or two, and we focus very specifically on grammar topics. We do exercises together, and she explains a lot of the grammar to me. She presents, right now we're doing reflexive verbs, so she presents a lot of them to me. We work through exercises. I have homework that she gives me where I have to create my own sentences or send her an audio message of myself speaking using these things. And then every now and then we do just some free speaking practice to use exactly what we've worked on. Then I also have another tutor who is just there for talking. I don't think he's a teacher. I think he's just a German who's there for German practice. So basically kind of like a tandem partner, but it's on Italki, so I pay him. But as we're talking about anything in the world, he gives me corrections if I make really big mistakes or don't know a word, but really we just talk. So this combination has been a great way of also progressing my German because I'm purposefully trying to use in unplanned conversations the things I hone in on in those focus sessions. And I'm seeing a lot of growth, especially with my confidence. More than anything, my confidence in German is improving. Like I said, I'm also doing a lot of lingua.com, which focuses mostly on reading and vocabulary. I also found a travel blog that I really enjoy. I found a language learning blog. I think two language learning blogs that are written in German that I also enjoy. I've gotten a few books from the local library that I'm trying to work through. Kids' books, because I really enjoy them. But just trying to have a lot more German reading time and making it what I want it to be. Trying to access the language more in the way that I enjoy and the things that I enjoy reading about. I've also upped my German podcast listening time. A lot of times repeating some of the same episodes over and over, and I pick up new words every time, which is really cool. Then whenever I'm reading, I often see the words, and so I can just make some connections there and try to better understand them. Every now and then, I can even then use them in my next conversation, which is, of course, always exciting. So really, in the last few months, I've done a lot of Italian, a lot of German. I've had really great focused study time most mornings and also quite a bit throughout the day while respecting my energy. And that's actually a huge key. And it's one of the reasons I haven't released the podcast episode until now. I was hoping to get a few out in January or February, but I'm having to really prioritize what I do, where I spend my time, and also where my energy goes. And of course, I've got kids and family and a full-time job. So those are a huge part of this language learning puzzle for me as well. I'm not just learning languages and have all the time in the world. You know, I've got other life things like we all do that also require our energy. And so we can't really think of our language learning time as just this bubble of energy and we have to always spend it on languages. You know, I'm tired sometimes. I can't tell you the number of times I've laid in bed at night and opened a book in Italian, read a couple sentences, tried reading more, and just said, no, I'm too tired. I need sleep. Go to sleep, Heidi. Or maybe I opened Duolingo or Speakly app or something in the evening to do some German, but my brain power just wasn't there. And I wasn't, you know, present. I couldn't really pick up on what was going on in the sentence that was presented to me. So respecting that mental break is really making a difference, I think, too, especially when coupled with no guilt. Not feeling guilty when I need a break or need to relax isn't easy, but I'm getting there. So what else? I guess that's really it for this episode. I think this one is really, I just wanted to get on and talk. I just want to kind of get the momentum of the season going and talk about my language time. And I'm having so much fun with it. I'm really, really finding so much joy in both of my languages now and my dabble languages that I want to share that and I want to spread it. And I hope that listeners can also find and appreciate your own path to having a really good relationship with your languages and your language time, so that you can just find a lot of joy and happiness in it, you know? I'm really, really excited to be back, as always. I'll be honest, I don't know what the season is really going to look like as far as frequency. I usually try releasing once a week for 20 weeks during a season, but I don't know. I don't know that I'm going to be able to do it every single week now, but I am going to get to 20 episodes before ending the season. We'll just see how the rest of the year goes. I'm up for anything, but I am here. So you guys can definitely count on that. I can't wait to see where your all's languages go as we progress through the season as well. I'm always cheering for you every step of the way. So here's to another wonderful season of joyfully being you on your lovely language journey. Until next time, ciao.